So this is Radharasuta Nidhi, kind of a long way from Kapila's teaching. This verse is kind of like got in a rocket ship and went to the spiritual world. But this is the Prayojana, and we just went through the Sambandha and Avideya. So this is the Prayojana. This is verse 104. Radha Charna Renu, the dust of Radha's feet. This is a good place to be. Yesham Preksham Vitarati Navadara Gadana Ragan Mega Shamo Madura Maduranonda Murtir Mukundali Brindatavyam Sumahima Chamatkara Karin Yahokim Tani Prekshet Bhuta Rasa Nidanani Radha Padani. Nidanani Radha Padani. Of course, it's very poetical, but since we don't know anything about Sanskrit, we can't really speak or appreciate the poetry and the beauty of the Sanskrit. Mega Shama Madura Madurananda Murti Mukunda. We can see this. Ma, ma, ma. So much beautiful words are there. Saraswati Pad says, when will I be able to see Sri Radha's wonderful footprints that are like a treasure of ras, whose greatness causes great astonishment in Vrindavan, and that are searched for with great, generous, new, and constant passion by cloud blue, ever so sweet Mukunda? It's an interesting translation. So, Saraswati Pad, the devotee who's in the Sadaka Vesh, absorbed in the mood of a Sadaka, he's living in Vrindavan and he's praying, oh, I'm here, I'm living in Vrindavan. He was doing bhajan near the bank of the Yamuna. This place is there, down near Raminreti side. And he's saying, when will I see the wonderful footprints of Radharani? I'm looking for them, I'm praying to see them, I'm searching for them. And not only me, but even Krishna, even Krishnaji, even Bhagavan, even Mukunda, this Madhurananda Murti Mukunda, even I, that's Madhurananda, this ever sweet and blissful form of bliss Mukunda himself, he's also looking. he's also looking for those footprints. And what will Krishna do when he finds the footprints of Radharani? Says that when Krishna, sometimes, there's one pastime described here, when the full moon is rising in the Sharad season, and Krishna sees the beautiful full moon over the Vrindavan sky, and he becomes very excited with loving sentiments and feelings towards Radharani, then he wants to immediately run out and call her to his side to enjoy different pastimes in the forest, like Rasa dance and Banbihar. So many wonderful pastimes. And as he's running to the trysting place or the Nikunj, then he may see, by chance, on a footpath, he may see Radharani's footprints. Patipati Madana Madhukula Gokula Chandra Kalita Paramulam. And Sangeet Madhava says that Gokula Chandra, he's intoxicated by intense desires to meet Radha. He's Madana Madakula. Mada means kula means a host of, a family of, a group of. He's completely intoxicated by Madan, by Cupid. So when he's running down the footpath, he's, oh, I have to meet my Radharani. Where is my Radharani? As soon as if he's running along the footpath and he sees in the footpath Radharani's footprints, then immediately, what does he do? He feels, oh, it's so wonderful. He immediately falls on the ground and he smears the dust of Radharani's footprints all over his whole body, because he has so much intense attachment to Radharani. And just seeing her feet, then he feels, by rubbing the dust from Radharani's feet on his chest and his forehead and his body, that he'll find some relief, because even Radharani's footprints are so wonderful and sweet and powerful and influential. We can get some vague idea of this. If you've ever seen someone rub the dust on their body with great affection, and the Bengali Vaishnavas, the Bengali Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Bengali ladies, they're extremely appreciative of the dust of Vrindavan, because they've been told by their well-wishers, by their gurus and mahajans, that there's something special in Vrindavan. And that special thing in Vrindavan will give you prema, which we mentioned earlier. And what gives prema in Vrindavan is the dust, the renu, the brajaraj. It gives prema. They're told that, and they hear it when they're in Bengal, and they're attending Bhagavad Pad, and the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are preaching. Yes, in Jagannath Puri and Purushottam Kshetra, it's very easy. You can eat your way to God. You can eat your way to the spiritual world. You can attain Krishna prema simply by taking Jagannath Mahaprasad. Jagannath Mahaprasad ki jai. So therefore, people love to go to Puri and become God conscious by eating up to the neck Jagannath Mahaprasadam. So then, they go to Mayapur, and it says in Mayapur you can bathe in the waves of the Ganga Taranga. But there you bathe in the Kirtan Taranga, in the waves of Kirtan, by taking part in the Sant Kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is still going on in a grand way, and Navadvip Mandal, by bathing and swimming and diving in the Sankirtan Taranga, in the waves of Sankirtan, one can become thoroughly washed and cleansed and elevated and drowned and submerged in Krishna prema. So it's a wet experience there. It's a wet, you get wet, you get prema by getting wet over there. And here you get prema by getting dry. Mm-hmm. So it's best to go to Mayapur and get wet. Then the dust will stick to you more. Mm-hmm. This is the practice. You go to Mayapur and you engage in lots of sankirtan. And then all those waves of kirtan ras, all those waves of kirtan ras cover your mind and cover your heart and cover your body. So your body is gila sharir, wet body. Is that right? Gila sharir. Wet body, you're soaked, you're drenched and soaked head to toe in a kirtan ras, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sankirtan, and Mayapur Navadvip. And then you come to Braj, Brajadam, Vrindavan Dham, Ki Jai. And then you just roll in the dust of Radhakun, Sevakunj, and Nidhiban. And then because your body and clothes are wet, then naturally dust will stick to your forehead and your back and everything, stick nicely, very nicely. You'll be painted, you'll be pasted up, and you'll roll on the back and the front. And this way you'll get prema by the dust of Vrindavan, honoring and worshipping and rolling in. So you can see, of course usually people aren't wet when they roll in the dust, but when you see these Bengali Vaishnavas come, they come into a temple, they have so much regard for the dust of Vrindavan. I watched in Radhadamodar, especially during Kartik, I spent a few Kartiks there, living over there, and then so many people come, of course, to Radhadamodar and Kartik. And Bengali ladies are coming, and they come in front of Damodar, and they roll this way and that way, and then they cover as much as possible. Then they kneel there, and then they go like this, very like both hands. They extend their hands and just collect as so much dust as possible. And they go like this, they stick it down their choli, and they rub all over their heart and over here and their belly and. They just give themselves a complete massage with a brajaraj in front of Damodar's lotus feet and Sevakunj. I was like watching it. Not too minutely I was watching, but I was saying, wow, they don't want to miss any parts, you know. I've never seen any North Indian lady, right? They just are like, what? They're allergic to the dust. I mean, they're afraid to get the dust on their new saris. They try to avoid it with a passion. But these Bengalis, I mean, they look like dust brooms or dust mops when they go out of the Sevakunj. So this is coming from up there. It's coming from the topmost level. Krishna himself is rolling in this dust in Vrindavan. God is rolling in the dust of Vrindavan. It's good enough for him. It should be good enough for you. And God is doing it. Oh, what are you doing? You're rolling in dust. Well, God does it. Krishna rolls in the dust to decorate his forehead with the dust of Radharani's feet. So this is some extraordinary mercy. And then, you know, he decorates himself. And that says here, And he decorates himself with the dust. And then there's this nice anecdote about Jagannath Das Babaji, which is quite famous. It's in Braj Ke Bhakta, in the biography of Jagannath Das Babaji, in this book by O.P.L. Kapoor. It's in Hindi also. Braj Ke Bhakta. It talks about Jagannath Das Babaji. And what happened was, he was Siddha saint of Braj Mandal and Gaur Mandal. And he was regarded and respected by all the Vaishnavas highly. And he, one day, he went to a bhangi. A bhangi means a street sweeper. Mm-hmm. And they were sweeping the streets of Vrindavan, and in those days there were no asphalt roads and cement and all these bricks and things. It was mostly dusty paths, lots of dust and dirt. Even when we first came to Vrindavan Parikrama Marg, practically the whole marg around Vrindavan, I think without exception, was all dirt. Practically, it was all dirt. No asphalt, no pavement. Even up till 1989, maybe even 1990, large portions of it was dirt because we did Nandabhat Parikrama Vrindavan in 1990 when we lived at Radha Damodara. It was so wonderful. So wonderful to lie in the dust of Vrindavan here and there and everywhere. And now you can't find any dust on the Parikrama Marg. It's all asphalt, every inch of it. But at any rate, so Jagannath Das Babaji, one day he said, "Hey, Bhangi," or whatever. He said, "May I please have some roti from you?" Now, Bhangi is considered very low class and like Muchi type, always cleaning the gutters and sewers and sweeping the streets and not very clean. So he is a Siddha Mahatma, maybe even Brahmin by birth, I don't know his caste, but he was highly regarded as a great Siddha saint of Braj. So all the Babajis and Brahmins and all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they would worship him and associate with him and honor him. So now he took a roti from a bhangi, and he ate it with great appreciation. He honored it, honored the bhangi prasad. And it was became the response among the community, the Vaishnava Samaj, Vaishnava Raja Sabha, was a huge outcry. What is this? What is this? He's defaming the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. What is he doing? This is sacrilegious. What's going on here? So then they met him, and then someone, a spokesman for the group, they said they heard about this strange phenomenon that he ate this roti. Could he? And then he explained to them. He said, "Listen," he said. He said, "Listen, do you understand? These bhangis are always serving the dust of Braj. Therefore, they're the most fortunate living entities. They're not mere street sweepers. They're the most fortunate and elevated munis and rishis. And somehow they have taken birth in outcast families simply to have the opportunity to serve the dust of Brajadham. So you're seeing with your external vision. What is this called? A lokik vichar. Or what do we say? When we analyze like Leelas or Shastra, there's adibhotika vichar, adiatmika vichar, and then adidaivika vichar. So this, the bhotika conception is the external conception, the sensual conception, what you see with your senses, what you perceive with your senses, your mind, very gross perception. We saw you take a roti from a bhangi. That's a no-no. But they could not see on the subtle level. So what is the subtle level? The subtle level is the adiatmika level. The subtle level. The subtle level is they're not bhangis, they're munis, they're rishis. You don't know. Do you know their last life? It's like he sees, "Oh, you're Ruski. You're from Russia." But how do you see his last life? He's Nitya Ruski? Eternal Ruski? You know, life after life, he's born in Ruski land. And last life, maybe he's born in Vrindavan and Govardhan. How do you know? You know? You don't know. What can you see? But if you go to Briga Rishi, who can see the past, present, and future, the son of Brahma, Manasaputra of Brahma, then he can tell you. Oh, in his last life, he was born in Mathura. He's the son of a Brahmin. And then you'll be amazed. Acha. So therefore, Jagannath Das Babaji, being a Siddha, he can see past, present, and future like Brigu. He said, "They're not bhangis, they're munis and rishis. Last night there were big monies, and they're, at the end of their life they said, "Oh Krishna, I was this big money, this big rishi, but I finally realized the glories of your Brajadam. But I was so puffed up and proud of my rishihood and my brahmanhood that everyone's worshipping me at this big ashram. I said, I don't want any of this crap. I don't want any of this distinction. Give me a low birth. Give me a low birth so I can appreciate the dust of Vrindavan. Just let me be fixed and fast in the dust of Vrindavan. Let everybody laugh at me and deride me and kick me and pigs bite me and dogs chase me. I don't care. But just let me stick to the dust of Vrindavan because I know that this dust will liberate me and give me a position in your eternal Nitya Dham. Please bless me." So this was their dying prayer, these great munis and rishis. So they came back as Vrindavan bhangis. This is what Jagannath Das Babaji saw.
Can I comment?
Yeah.
It's a saying here that the signs, there are some signs of auspiciousness, and it said that if you go out to do something and if you see a bhangi, it's very auspicious.
Yes.
And if you see a brahmin, it's not auspicious. Bhangi is auspicious. So which means it's like that. There must be monies and rishis, so this giving auspiciousness when you see them.
That's interesting. Interesting statement. So this is some local consideration. Because there's a book called Samudrika, and it describes different auspicious symptoms of the body, individual bodies, and also environmental. What the West they call omens, or in shamans and the good omens and bad omens and eagle flying over the cactus. Don Juan journey to Ixtland or whatever it is. So these are called omens in the West, but apparently if a crow lands, it alights on the eastern wall of your house in the morning and he says, "Ah, ah," what he's telling you, what he's saying, what he's announcing is, "They're coming, they're coming. Someone is coming to see you." And we find, since we're living in a village and we're a little bit aware of these things, it's kind of a quiet area here, that they're actually true. Some of the things are quite correct. That every time a crow will come and sit on the eastern fence, caw, caw, then that day some guests will come from Delhi or India or anywhere. Every time. And even the chokidar tells me, "Oh, guests are coming." I said, "Why?" He said, "Look," and he goes, "Kaw, kaw." He's saying, "They're coming." He's saying, "Kaw, they're coming, they're coming." So if you know that, then you make some food ready, or you get ready, or clean the guest room or whatever. Get out the red carpet. And then, you know. And then if they let, there's so many things. It's like unlimited stuff. Leave town, the bill collector's coming. Ka, ka. Bill collector's coming. Oh, sure, thanks a lot. See you around. Your wife said, you deal with it. Just tell him I'm out of town now. And you go down to Govardhan and hang out with the Goswamis at Jatipur. So this is Krishna is so much appreciating this dust. Of course, we're discussing the dust of Vrindavan, but specifically, we're discussing the dust of Radharani's feet. And this is one of the specialities of Vrindavan. Like people say, what's so special about Vrindavan? It's Vrindavan. I go to my place, it's quiet, it's clean, there's no Brahmins harassing me, no pigs, dogs, this, that. And it's nice, the water's sweet, and flowering trees, and nice fruits. And all the trees here are full of thorns and thorn trees and babo trees, and the water's all salty and people are all grouchy and the Brahmins are all pushy and aggressive and all the shop owners are cheats and everyone's ripping me off at every time and place, and let me go back home and be happy. But back home and being happy, there's some very important elements that make up Vrindavan which are not available in your back home comfy place. One is the dust of Vrindavan. The other is Giri Govardhan. And the other is the Yamuna River, whatever is left, whatever trickles through time to time, whenever they open the dam, whatever is left of the Yamuna. So these things, and the other most extraordinary thing that makes Vrindavan the most extraordinary place in the entire universe, there's millions and millions of planets in the whole universe, but in Vrindavan, what makes it extraordinary is the footprints of God. This is like we're so dull, we don't realize how significant is this. These people, they fly all around the universe in these big noisy rocket ships, and they bring back a couple useless rocks and they stick it in the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. They put it on a pedestal, and they put ropes around it, they put a guard there, and it looks, and people come up and touch their head to it and say, this is a moon rock. Chandra Shila. And people from all around the world come and do puja to the Chandra Shila. And we used to stand up front and sell books, Bhagavatam. There's a big, and they all pay a dollar, and they have to wait in line. There's a big guard there, and they all come and touch their head to it. Sometimes they bathe the Shila with their tears of love, love for the astronauts and love for America. They did it. They went to the moon and brought back a rock. Wow, wonderful. So people think it's amazing. It's wonderful. And if you go to America, you must go to Washington, D.C. and see the moon rock and take darshan and do puja, the Chandra Shila, and do prikama there. It's on a pedestal, so you can do prikama. It's like a stamba. And thousands and millions of people from Australia and Japan and China and America and South America, everyone comes to do puja and have darshan, this amazing, wonderful thing. This Chandra Shila, this moon rock, which looks like any damn rock on the street. I can go out in the front of the place and I can hold up and say, listen, moon rock too, I'll sell you $1. It exactly looks the same as that one. There's no chakras. There's no white lines like a Brahmin thread. There's no long noses like a Hayagriva, or there's no little flippers like Kurma. There's no mean faces. And in Shaligram Shilas, they have all these different markings of different avatars. They're so interesting. There's chakras inside, there's Sudarshan chakras, there's a mouth going, ah, Ugra Nishrini. Look inside the mouth and there's a design of a chakra inside there. And one on the top, one on the bottom. Now that's a cool rock. Now that's really special. This rock is just a little square black thing. Nothing. No chakras, nothing special. And people are like, oh, flocking from the whole unit, from the whole world to go see it. And we're living in Vrindavan, which has you can see the footprints of God, Krishna, and Radharani in the ground. You can see and put your head there and touch them. And we think, yeah, so what? You know, what's a big deal? You know, I mean, all right already. This is big. This you won't find. Can you find the footprints of God in New York? In Mexico City? Is it right? Not possible. So that's one thing. It's so even right now. I take in a car. And I'm going to go and drive 10 minutes and show you God's footprint in 10 minutes. 10 minutes from here.
Yes, let's go.
So it's like that. And what to speak? 10 minutes and 30 seconds. We have the eyes to see, as we were saying yesterday. We can just walk over to Radhakund. Into Manasapavan Ghat. Radharani is standing there, about to walk over there. She'll leave her footprints. And every day the sweepers are sweeping Radharani's footprints off, so you have to get there early before they sweep them off. They sweep the steps every day. And the 19 marks are there, 19 auspicious marks. So we'll stop there. Is there any further comments? We're so fortunate. Just go drop your head in one of Krishna's footprints if you start to become familiar with Brajadham. Start to think it's an ordinary place. It's the most extraordinary, dynamic place in the entire universe. The entire universe is submerged. It's burnt. Every planet in the universe gets toasted in the microwave. Natashesh has this huge microwave. And he puts all the planets in the microwave and cranks it up and burns them all up. Then once he's roasted them to a nice crispy black color, then he drops them in the ocean, cools them off. It rains for 12,000 celestial years and floods the whole universe. But when all that's going on, Brajadham is one lotus just sitting above it all. It doesn't get scorched. Not even one leaf on one tree gets burned. Not even one leaf on one tree of Brajadham gets burned. When the entire universe is devastated. And then when that huge flood, the whole all the rain in the whole universe is falling day and night for 12,000 years and floods the entire universe. And then Braj is like sitting above that water, like a lotus flower above the water of a lake, dry as a bone, dry and sweet, sweet, dry, colorful, beautiful, and fragrant. Because Brajadam is transcendental. Brajadam is a spiritual world. It has nothing to do with this material universe. The material universe, avyakta, avyakta, it comes and goes, comes and goes. Brajadam is eternal. So we should have so much regard and respect for Brajadam. Sometimes we were born here in last life and we lived here. Then in the next life you have to take birth in Australia. It happens. Especially nowadays, you see so many people in Vrindavan. I want to go to America. I want to go to America. They even wear t-shirts. I love New York. I love San Francisco. I want to go to America. That's called Bhav. They're physically not there, but their mind is hankering. I want, I want, I want, I want. I love America. I love American movies. I love American people. I love. So that creates deep Bhav. That's called Bhav. Yam yam vapi soran bhavam tyachi janta kalevaram. Krishna says your kalevaram comes later. First your bhav. Whatever bhav you remember at the time of death. Smaran bhav. So this bhav, this smaran, this thinking, remembering. So you're thinking America, America, America. And then you go there. And then because you have so much punya from living in Brajadam and did so many things, then you're born in a very wealthy family, have so much wealth and good education and influence, friends, everything. And then at some point again you think, oh, Balihai may call you anytime, anywhere. So Vrindavan calls you. It says, okay, time is up, get out of the prison. And at the age of 36, you come back to Brajadam. Right? And that's it. Back home, back to Godhead. Prison over. 36 years of prison over. That sanskara finished. Back to Braj. So we know by our own personal life that this is a fact. So everyone, their time, at a certain time, their prison sentence is over, and then they're allowed out of prison, back into their home. Right? You have this experience, Manjari? Mm-hmm. It's like that. Mm-hmm. I know, I'm just speaking autobiographically. I said, I know very clearly about my last life and this life. It's obvious, and this is the history of one jiva. Can happen to anybody. You're sitting here in India. The next dong, hey, wah wah, cat and dog. Then you learn English, cat and dog. Where's your Brajvas? Where's your Hindi? I don't know. I forgot. It's really covered over. Well, it's a fashioning a new fashion, huh? That's a mala choker. I got one of those big Siddha Babas with her Tulsi necklaces. Hare Krishna. Imagine what the real baby Radha looked like in Ravel. Because there was a real baby Radha that was here. 5,000 years ago, she was born and she appeared in Ravel. And she lived there for 3 years. How old is she? Four? Five? How old?
Four.
So she lived there for 3 years. And then she moved to Ral. No, not Ral. Ral. And Krishna moved to Chatikar, which is on this road. She stayed in Ral. So when she was this age, she was living in Ral. And seeing Krishna, and they were playing the dirt together and push each other down. Krishna would pull her hair and then she would chase him. And this was going on. Her name is Radha. So it's supposed to be Udipan. To remember, think of Krishna's Leela. How sweet, how intimate, how wonderful. Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai. Excuse me, Radha Rasudin ki jai. Anything? Any more comments? About that, something like that. Because they say it's in thirds. One third Gokul, one third Chatikar, one third Nandagaon. So, and he's about 10 and three quarters, say roughly 11. So three and threes is nine, and then you add 4 months here and there, that becomes 10. It's like something like 3 years, 6 months in each place, something like that. Three and a half. What do you say? Three and a half? It's about three and a half in each place. Huh?
I wrote 3 and 4.
3 years, 4 months.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think you have a good memory. Three, it's something like that. Because then 4 times 3 is 12, so 9 becomes 10. But it's a little more, because I mean, at least that may be one Acharya is telling like that, and we accept that. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur was saying that he was 10 years, 7 months, and so many days when he left. So that becomes more than 3 years and 4 months. Right? Because it's more than 10. So it's 3 years and 5 months, 5.5 months, three years and 6 months. And Gokul. Then when he came to Chatikar, from 3.5 and 3.5 till 7. Roughly when he started, 6 years old, 7, when he got the name Gopal, and he started to take out the cows, he started his Gocharan Leela in Chatikar at the age of 6. It was called Gopastami. In Kartik, there's a day called Gopastami, and that's when Nanda Baba decided that the little boy crawling around Chatikar was sufficiently mature enough to take out the cows. So then he started to take out the cows from Chatikar at the age of about 6, 7. And then shortly after that, they moved to Nandagon. So from the age of 7 to 10, 10 and a half or so, he stayed in Nandagon. But remember, the maturity is 1.5 times. So he was 10, but 10 plus 5, 15. 15 years, 9 months, 27... No, 15, what was it? 15 years, 9 months, 27... No, 7 days, 7.5 days. And that's what... In the... what is that? Padati, Dhyan Chandra gives that age of Krishna. 15 years, 9 months, 7.5 days. And then it says... Excuse me? He would come to Vrindavan... I suppose so, because he was, you know, of course he was coming every night. He was coming to Seva Kunj and Nidiban. That's Vrindavan. Excuse me? No, what our acharyas say, that, and that's explained also in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, that he lived in Chatikar. He never lived in Vrindavan, whatever. Of course, if you say Vrindavan, meaning Vrindavan forest, then it's Nandagan, Varsana, Govardhan, Ramanreti, Nidivan, it's all the forest of Vrindavan, or the Dwadasa Van, that is the Van called Vrindavan. So it's hard to answer. He lived in Vrindavan, the forest of Vrindavan. But within that forest, the village he stayed in, which is now called Chatikar.
Then why the Parikrama area is called Rasamantal and in this Radha Krishna?
Excuse me?
In Vrindavan, we have the Parikrama area.
Yes. Yeah, they say within that Parikrama circle, there's the Rasamandal, because it is, it's there.
So that's how Krishna was going from there every night.
Well, from Chatikar, that wasn't the time for his Rasalila, but when he's living in Nandagaon, from Nandagaon, he was going by Yogamaya's arrangement. He would just step out of his house, and within a few seconds, he would arrive at Keshigad or Vamshivad and play his flute and call the gopis there and have to the Rasamandal and have his Rasadats. That was Nandagaon Leela, part of Nandagaon, which is also Vrindavan forest. That's my understanding.